12 minutes after 5 o'clock, Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Happy to have you with us, Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas. Got us for about another hour and 15 minutes. Cavaliers basketball will take center stage tonight down at Quicken Loans Arena, the Wine and Gold, playing host to the Charlotte Hornets. Although I'm not sure if I can really refer to them as the Wine and Gold anymore now that they have a new-ish color and uniform scheme. I like it. Matt Douglas hates it. But right now he's not in here to defend himself, so we'll lob that his direction a little bit later on. Time now to welcome in our next guest here in studio. Tom Davis is joining us, and Tom is the CEO and founder of Flight to Remember. Tom, thanks for coming in, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Well, for those that don't know what Flight to Remember is, you and I met a couple of weeks ago, and I found out about this, and I thought, wow, that's really awesome. But for those that don't know what Flight to Remember does, give us an idea as to the service that you guys provide.
Sure. Yeah, so Flight to Remember uses drone technology to provide an experience for hospice patients at the end-of-life process. So we work with the hospice facilities, the patients and their families. They'll determine a meaningful location that they want to visit one more time. When we get that location, we'll go out and find a drone pilot in the area, and they will collect footage of that meaningful area, whether it's, you know, their home they grew up in, their church, their school. We have a ton of different locations. And then we put together a highlight video for the family and the patient to watch. And sometimes we'll do a live experience where the pilot connects a real-time live video feed, so the patient and the family can actually watch while he's there, and they can direct him to, you know, different areas that they want to see. So essentially, that's what we're doing.
So they can help kind of steer the ship as the drone pilot is taking them through?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So when the conditions are right and we've got a location that has good internet connection and we're able to stream the feed to the patient, the pilot will get on a cell phone connected to the patient, and they can get a live view from the drone. So, for example, we were at a park one time, and we were up about, you know, 200 feet in the air, and we're looking over the park, and the family asked if we could fly up to the north a little bit. There's a hill, a sledding hill they used to, you know, grandma used to go sledding on. So we got up in the air, and they said, okay, there it is, you know, and I was able to see it, and we'd fly down to the hill, and they're able to, you know, kind of customize or personalize the experience.
That's really cool. So I've got to ask, you know, as the CEO and as the founder of this great company, where did this idea begin and how did it blossom?
Yeah, so back in 2014, I think my mother-in-law actually showed me a YouTube video of drones, and I was getting this great footage. So, you know, a couple of weeks went by, and ended up buying one on eBay. You know, much to my wife's chagrin, I bought this drone on eBay, of course. And so I got the drone. I was flying, doing, like, real estate things. And then I got involved with some movies. We were doing filming for that. And one day I was talking to a friend of mine, and he has a family member who was battling a severe, rare form of leukemia. And she was in the hospital and couldn't leave. She had a school event that day, and he was telling me she was bummed that she couldn't get out there and see it. And it just hit me. I said, hey, we could take the drone down there and fly it around, and she could see everything and hear everything in real time, like she's there. So we talked about it. He called, you know, his cousin. They weren't able to do it. But later that night, I was talking to my wife, and I said, hey, we could, you know, there's hospice patients that, you know, are in their rooms, and that's the last place they're going to be. You know, we could use this service for them. So I went online and actually went to Hospice of the Western Reserve and on their contact page. I said, I got this idea for a drone service that we could provide for your patients. Submitted that to them, and they replied, and they, you know, they had no idea what I was talking about. but they said, sure, come on in, and we'll talk about it. So I went and met with them and pitched the idea, and we started doing it. And their CEO, Bill Finn, got on board, and he's been a huge champion. And from there, we've grown. We formed a nonprofit organization, and now we have about 5 nonprofit hospice partners. There's about, you know, 30 facilities or so that we're starting to roll this out to, and just keep trying to grow the foundation now.
Well, there's obviously a lot of moving pieces in parts there. I mean, you're talking about making the connection with hospice, trying to talk to some of the patients, and then, of course, you got to go out and you've got to find the drone pilots as well. And some of the locations, I'm guessing, are a heck of a lot easier to access than some of the others. But talk about how difficult that process can be. It's obviously very rewarding, but I know that can be a bit of a difficult process too.
Yeah. You know, it's so essentially what we need is one, the hospice. So we've focused on the nonprofit community-based hospices. We need to educate their staff on what we do and help them pass the message to patients and families, because sometimes even they are, it's a very delicate time and they don't understand, what this is. So that's tough. So we do a good job of educating them. And then they pick the location. And like you said, it could be things from, things you'd reckon progressive field. Everybody knows what that is. And we can get a pilot down there and do that. But sometimes you get, 1970 Ogden Street in Superior Court, Wisconsin.
Sure.
And, nobody knows where that is. So we've been able to develop a real strong network of volunteer pilots. So when we do, an article's written or, somebody sees our website, they'll reach out and say, hey, I'm a drone pilot. I love what you're doing. Sign me up whenever, something's in my area. I'm happy to do this for you. So we've grown that. We're getting close to over 100 volunteer pilots all over the world. And then when we do not have a pilot in the area, I've partnered with a company called Drone Base, and they've got 20,000 pilots all over the world, and I can give them an address, and they'll send me a drone pilot who is excited and ready to do that. So we're growing the volunteer pilot network, and that's really where we want to focus. And then when we don't have that, we've got Drone Base to rely on for support.
So how long has the nonprofit been around?
The nonprofit was established last year in January. But I had been operating. I had a small drone company I did for the real estate stuff. It was called Aerial Anthropology, and we had been doing these types of things under that company. So the plan is to keep focus on the nonprofit hospices with our nonprofit organization, and on the for-profit side and the large hospital systems, we're going to use the Aerial Anthropology company to focus on that, and ideally that will fund the nonprofit.
Very good stuff. Again, Tom Davis, CEO and founder of Flight to Remember, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, boy, I would imagine that's kind of a fun process, albeit challenging, to try and find some of these drone pilots, because you're asking these gentlemen and these ladies to volunteer their time. But, again, once they find out what they're doing and what they're doing it for, I would imagine that they find that to be a very rewarding experience.
Oh, yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, it's and it's one of those things when you, so we'll get a location that, again, like we've never heard of, and we can Google, drone pilots, Superior Court, Wisconsin, or whatever the city is. And you get a list of guys that have their own website, and they're doing this part-time, and they get it. And you reach out to them, and they'll take a look at the site, or we'll tell them what we do. And just like that, they're immediately on board. They understand the concept. They've got all their equipment. These drone nerds, they've got everything, and they're ready to go. They're all excited. So it's been very cool finding those people. And then once you find them, they tell you about other people. But it's been very very interesting to see, when we get these guys. We've had, tons of international flights. We had one in Italy where we found this guy. He volunteered like 6 months prior, and then we had one in Italy, so we emailed him, and he said, yeah, it's about a 3-hour drive, but he packed his son in the car, and they went and they did this whole thing, and he said it was really rewarding because he got to show his son, hey, this is what we're doing for somebody at a very tough time of life, and we're providing this for him. And the son had a great time and was able to understand what they were doing with their drones. And it kind of, it's very beneficial for the pilots as well, which is something we kind of overlooked at the start is, that aspect. So the pilot network, and drone pilots in general are a, kind of a strong network. And, it's been great working with all those people.
That was going to be my next question. I get the impression, based on what you're telling me, that the drone network is a fairly tight-knit community, no?
Sure, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's, drone pilots, once you fly one, and if you've never done it, if you get one and you fly it, you'll be like, okay, I'm going to do this all the time. It's easy, it's fun, and it's cool. There's that camaraderie because, the public's perception of drones at times is very negative. When we started this thing, it was, the drone that crashed on the White House lawn, the one at the U.S. Open. You know, there's, you know, sporting events where, you know, these things were falling into the stands. So when we have this positive thing that we're doing with drones, it even strengthens that network, and people really have gotten behind it. We've got one of the largest company, the largest drone maker in the world, DJI. They're like the Nike of drones, essentially. They've, okay. You know, they've been very supportive. They just did a documentary on us, and they're going to share that with all their pilots, and that'll be huge. So it's really starting to come together, and like you said, it's just that tight network of good drone pilots.
I've heard that same thing about the experience with a drone. The second that you fly one and you see just how cool that is, and if you're able to capture some cool footage, it back and you look at it, you think, man, that's awesome. You're right. You immediately get hooked, and you could see why Trevor Bauer cut his finger open trying to repair one of these things, because they're just that fun to deal with.
That was one of my opening slides at the at Hospice of the Western Reserve was, you know, tribes trouble with drones, you know, and explain, hey, it's not really that bad. I've got some good news for you. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, and you guys do some really, really awesome things. You and I spoke off air about some of the really magical experiences that you've been a part of. Can you share some of those with us? You mentioned to me an experience as it related to a lady who was going through the hospice process, and she wanted to see Puerto Rico, and you were able to share that with her. What kinds of experiences like that can you share with us?
Yeah, no, the Puerto Rico, we just did that last Saturday. So the woman survived the hurricane and had been in Puerto Rico in her home in a village outside of San Juan. And her family couldn't get a hold of her. Eventually, her daughter flew out there and rented a car and went to essentially pick her up. You know, and she found her and was able to get her home to Cleveland, where the daughter lived. You know, and she hadn't been back. And when she got to Cleveland, her health deteriorated, and she, you know, was upset that she left and wasn't able to return. So we were able to find pilots in Puerto Rico that got footage of the town, San Juan, you know, downtown, and the sites that they would see, and then her village, which is a remote, you know, village outside of the town, and we presented that to her last weekend, and she just, you know, they loved it. And again, it's more the family. It's a time where you get to see where, you know, mom and grandma was from, and all the things that she grew up with. So that was really special. And then there's so many, but there's a couple. My son's teacher, my preschool teacher, her family had spent, her mom, 40 years going to Lakeside Marblehead. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. And she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and they left, you know, the village at Lakeside the one time. And she told her husband, she said, you know what, I don't think I'm ever going to get back. And they, you know, left, and her condition, you know, again, deteriorated, and she was in the hospital. And my son's teacher, it was her daughter, she took a leave of absence, and we just shot him an email and said, hey, we do this thing with drones and the special locations. If you're interested, you know, let us know, but you know, no pressure. And she called and she said, this is the greatest idea ever. So that one was real special. I actually picked her up and we drove to Lakeside together. And we spent about 4 hours filming everything there. You could film all the major spots. We even, the whole family knew the story of one of the brothers that was riding his bike down a hill and took a wrong turn and crashed into a house. So we flew the drone like it looked like it was crashing into the house, you know, and made this whole video. This one was like 25 minutes long, and gave it to them. And the whole family watched it. The mom was able to see, you know, everything she wanted to see again. And that was really special because it was just a great family that we knew. There's been a ton. We had one in the Boston area where a woman was in hospice, and we had talked to them about picking a location. And during the process, her husband died, and he was healthy and happened to pass away. And she was in hospice, couldn't leave. And after he passed away, he was cremated, and they were going to spread the ashes, and she wanted to go, and she couldn't go. So we were able to live stream from the pond, this lake, where they were having the ceremony and spreading the ashes. She was able to lay in her bed watch real time as her family went out to the lake, had a, you know, a little ceremony and spread the ashes in the water. She was able to, you know, see that live in real time. And then we got up and flew around the entire area. So it's things like that, where that concept of, you know, you're able to get outside a room or a home or a hospice bed. You know, so those are three good ones. I could tell you a ton more, but it's just been amazing.
That's really, really awesome stuff. Certainly lives up to the motto, priceless moments of happiness during life's most trying times.
Yep.
Very, very cool stuff. Well, before we let you go, too, and we'll certainly plug the website, Whole Nine Yards, give our listeners an opportunity to really dive in and see what you guys are all about. But you were recently up for an award, my man.
Yeah. Yeah, I was nominated for the Cleveland Homegrown Heroes Award for people doing, you know, innovative and progressive things in Cleveland. I was nominated in the medical category and had to go against Dr. Akram Boutros of MetroHealth. So I kind of got boat raced in that one, but it was an honor to be there. We had a great event with some great people and got to meet, you know, some of the other leaders and people in the Cleveland area that are doing good things. So yeah, it was a great experience.
Well, a nomination is awesome. As far as I'm concerned, for something like that, just to be nominated, that's really awesome. That had to be a really cool experience.
Oh yeah, it was great. It was, a lot of good things happening in Cleveland, and you know, I'm from Cleveland, grew up on the West Side, so it felt good to be a part of that.
Awesome stuff. Well, Tom, before we let you go, for our listeners out there who are wondering where they can go to get some more information about what you guys do, read deeper into some of these stories, and find out how they can contact you if they can acquire some of your services, where can they go to find out more?
Yeah, sure. You can find us online. It's www.flighttoremember.org. You go to the site, and hospice organizations are able to contact us and begin the process of getting our services up. Drone pilots are able to sign up to get on the list of volunteers that are open to taking on the experiences. And then, you know, donors and potential contributors are able to donate online or get in touch with us and help us out in that way.
Give them a follow on Twitter as well, at @flight2. Remember, @flight2. Remember as well. Tom, this was awesome, man. You guys do great things, some great stories told along the way there, and obviously some very difficult times, but we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story with us.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I really appreciate you helping us get the message out.
Absolutely. All right, we need to step aside and take a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will come back for the final hour of today's show right after this on AM 930 WEOL.
Hi there, Jim Bohannon here. Certainly hope you'll join us for the next Coast to Coast Jim Bohannon Show. Several programs in one, really. We talk with interesting newsmakers and people in the world of sports, entertainment, politics, you name it. And then we take your calls for our guests. Throw in a big dose of open phones, and you've got the Jim Bohannon Show. Great way to spend your evening. We look forward to you joining us right here.
The Jim Bohannon Show, late night on AM 930 WEOL.
There's a fight in this city, and it lives in the blood of all of us, driving us, uniting us. This fight is our birthright. So on your feet, Cleveland. Be the one thing you were born to be. Be the fight.
Wednesday, November 21st, the Cavs will face the Lakers as LeBron James makes his only visit to the land this season. Great seats are still available. Head to Cavs.com for your tickets today.
Bullseye on weather on AM 930. It'll be at least...